Welcome to Deep Dive, a podcast about dive bars. I'm your host, Christina Lundin. Join me each week for a candid conversation with the owner, manager, bartender, and regulars at Chicago's most iconic pubs and taverns. So belly up to the bar, grab your favorite drink, and let's dive in. Hey everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of Deep Dive. I'm a little delulu right now because I've recorded this like five times. I just like every time say something a little different and then I go on like a tangent. It's a whole thing. But anyway, I also I made a terrible mistake in the intro, but anyway, now that I've wasted 30 seconds of your life, let me talk about today's episode. It features Toon's Bar and Grill on Southport and Byron in Lakeview. It's another bar that's kind of close to where I live, so that was great. I just walked over there on a Wednesday afternoon and met Danny Beck, the owner. Had a nice talk with him, learned a lot about the bar. If you've heard of Toon's before, if you've been to Toon's before, you know they have some of the best wings in the city, but there's a lot more than meets the eye at Toon's. I learned a lot about how Toon's started, some cool fun facts about Toon's, learned about some of their menu items, which they have a lot of great food options. For a bar, they have pretty solid menu. There's something for everyone. They have shuffleboard. You can play shuffleboard. You can play pool there. I believe they also have darts. And they have a long bar where you can sit. When I went there on a Wednesday afternoon, it was like freezing cold and there wasn't an empty seat at the bar. And that just goes to show how Toon's is part of the neighborhood. Locals love it. Customers love it. They have longtime regulars. And I was actually lucky enough to meet one of their longest or oldest regulars, Arnold. Arnold is a whopping 96 years young. And he was just sitting there at the bar enjoying a drink. And he goes to Toon's often, and I can tell it's a place that makes him very happy. He's forged connections there. Danny was so excited to see him, and Arnold was excited to see Danny, so it was cool to see how they interact. Danny also gave me a tour of the Toon's basement. I know, I got the VIP treatment, and he showed me some old photos taken inside the bar. He showed me a Taylor Swift cutout that someone gave him. It's a Chiefs bar, so there's a lot of Chiefs memorabilia on the walls there. And I'm sure they're having a great night tonight. This is Sunday, January 26th. The Chiefs have just beat the Bills. You can tell I'm really thrilled. No, I'm happy for them. I'm happy for the Chiefs and for the Toon's Bar and Grill. But Danny also gave me a Toon's t-shirt, which I love. I am a sucker for merch, so thank you, Danny, for that gift. And I think that about covers it. We've got Bob back on the mic for Euler's Corner. I tried doing that last week, and I just can't do it like Bob does it. And Bob is going to rant about regulars, which ties in nicely with this episode, having Arnold be a part of this episode, too. And Bob recently had his bike stolen. So if you're the thief who stole Bob's bike listening, give it back. He needs it to get around. It's kind of like another, it's kind of like an extension of him, you know, he loves that thing. So, I don't know, maybe we could get Bob a new bike with, all the money I'm making from this podcast. All right. I hope you enjoy the episode. Bye.
I'm here with, Arnold. Longtime regular Arnold. Arnold, what's your last name?
Van Pembroek.
Is that German?
Belgian.
Belgian.
I'm originally from Belgium.
Okay, and how long have you been coming to Tunes Bar?
I started since 1967.
So you've had a lot of memories and drinks here. What is your go-to drink order?
I've been drinking Jim Beam Presbyterian since then. Yeah.
You got to stick with the classics.
The what?
You got to stick with the classics, with what
right.
you know.
I call it my Tylenol.
Your Tylenol. Okay, I could use some Tylenol too. What is your favorite part about Tunes? What do you like most about Tunes Bar?
I made so many friends here since then that I'll be always back to come back and see my friends.
Love that. Is there anyone you want to say hello to?
Well, I had the privilege of meeting his son, Joe Doniger, who is now the owner of the building since his father died.
Okay.
We have been good friends since then, too.
Okay. Great. Well, that's wonderful. What are you most excited about for 2025? Any big plans?
I just thank the Lord to still be alive, and I'm still in reasonable good health.
Yeah.
And I call myself very lucky, and I'll take it day by day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for talking to me. Have a great day.
All right. You're more than welcome.
Check 1 2.
1 2 1 2.
Cool. I think we're off and running here. Danny and I have been chatting a bit, and I just got to talk to a longtime regular. Try like as long as you've been open, right?
Oh yeah, Arnold's been around here for. Well, we've been open in Tunes since 1989, and then our landlord grew up upstairs. And his dad bought the building in 1950.
Okay.
So his family's owned the building still to this day. But they ran the pub as a German pub, Doniger's Tavern, until 89, and then it became Tunes. And so we're at 35 years. Tunes at 35 years, they were 39.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal is to hit 40 and have two different establishments on Southport run the same place for 80 years.
Okay, great. And you own another bar too.
Beck's.
Beck's, check
Beck's
it
Chicago.
Out.
Chicago.
Great spot right next to Pequod's. Grab a pie and then hang out at Beck's for sure. But right now we're at Tunes, and that's the subject of our episode. So you call the bar Tunes. Any reason why?
Well, the original owners, Nick Novich, who also owned Nick's, I believe Nick's is still on Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, Nick's Beer Garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he owned the Blue Note. In 89, when it opened, it was never cartoons here. Actually, the original sign had, like, musical notes.
Mm-hmm.
1989, Roger Rabbit was kind of that whole thing. Toontown and stuff was having a moment.
Okay.
And there's never been major cartoons in here, but... Like I say, it was kind of a play on that. Musical tunes, they always had a very eclectic jukebox and lots of soul and blues and stuff like that. So
I like
and
it.
And then Dean Lencioni is my partner, and he was a manager in the opening in 89. And we were able to purchase it in 99, and we just decided to keep the name. And it was easier. People, even if they hadn't been here, they knew what Tunes was and where it was, so...
Okay, so you purchased it in 99?
I did.
Okay, gotcha.
25 years ago.
Wow. Well, congratulations on 25 amazing years of Tunes. We both have drinks here. What are you drinking there?
I'm having a vodka soda.
Is that your go-to, usually?
It is. I haven't been drinking a lot of beer lately, so.
Mm-hmm. Do you love hanging out at Tunes still after all these years?
I do. I don't do as many late nights as I used to do, but
right.
Yeah, come in, and as you see, 4 o'clock on a 18 degree Wednesday. We got a full crowd. Jeopardy just wrapped up. And
Jeopardy is kind of the best show to watch at a bar, in my opinion. Do you have regulars who come in here every?
Oh yeah.
Every week.
We just tell people it's kind of like a time warp. I mean, I've been here 25 years. One of Rich, our manager, he's been here over 20. AJ, who's waiting on us now, has been here over 10. She just had like her 11th year. We've seen people come in here and bring their kids in for the first time. We've always been family friendly, and you'll see kids, they like to say this is the first place they brought their baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see those same kids come in and have their first legal beer at 10.
Yeah, so, right.
One thing, you can always come in and it's not a whole lot's changed.
Okay. Yeah, talking about change, what changes did you make when you bought it, if any, and what were you wanting to stay the same?
Well, the front windows up there now, the sliding glass doors, that was kind of just an old brick with the little one window, kind of old man bar, one window kind of a thing. So we opened that up, and that was 25 years ago. Opened that up, and we just kind of knew the neighborhood was changing. My background was food. I went to culinary school, bartended my way through college a couple times, and we knew the neighborhood was changing, so we wanted to just have really good food, be a great bar, but have elevated dive bar food.
Yes, let's talk about food. It's getting close to dinner time, and this menu is looking more and more appealing. I know that you guys are known for your wings, at least that's what yep. I've heard. What else are you known for? What are some unspoken heroes on the menu?
I was a chef at the House of Blues. I started going to New Orleans years and years ago and just love that kind of food. I grew up in Kansas, so kind of southern barbecue. And that's kind of a mishmash of what we do. We always have a catfish po' boy on the menu, something that's different. Shrimp, barbecue, we cook our own rib. Well, our ribs aren't on the menu anymore right now, but we do pulled pork. We do smoke our own turkey. Mm-hmm. So just a few things that, you know, but our number one seller, hands down, every day of the week is wings.
Mm-hmm.
But we do a great burger and all the classics, wraps, salads.
Okay. What's your personal favorite on the menu other than wings?
Other than wings? I like the Cubano.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So we take our house-smoked pork and with ham and pickles and mayonnaise and smash it down, melt it with some Swiss cheese.
Oh, yeah. That does sound pretty good. Cubanos are delicious sandwiches. I think more bars should serve them.
One thing, we hand-cut all our fries. So we probably hand-cut about 300 pounds of potatoes every week. And
That's
we double-blanch them. We par-cook them at 300 and then cool them down, and then we recook them at a hotter temperature mm-hmm. when an order comes in.
Okay.
And so I think our hand-cut fries are pretty awesome.
All right. Beautiful. There are a lot of, like, cool memorabilia photos on the wall. Do you have a favorite or a most prized possession here in the bar?
Well, we're the Kansas City Chiefs bar, so we have a lot of people bring me stuff. So we have our 3 Super Bowl signs.
Do you guys get sick of winning?
Yeah, so we're gearing up for the playoff game this weekend. But actually, we just hung a piece that it came out of Pearls, actually. It was our restaurant that we ran for 8 years. It closed. It was a New Orleans, Kansas City barbecue place. And I'll show it to you in a little bit. But we got it. It was a handmade antique door mm-hmm. that it's all hand-painted. And then they put Pearls and Tunes on it, and it hung at Pearls for those 8 years, and we just now finally got it hung up here.
Wow!
So
oh,
that's
great.
Probably the possession. Yeah,
okay,
that.
Can't then, wait to see it.
Then the 2 crazy murals up front that people always ask about. The girl, she lived upstairs in the apartment up here and worked here, and she painted those 2 big colorful paintings.
They're very impressive. They're huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the music here, I'm loving. This is like feels like 80s a little bit. Does the bartender get to pick the music?
Yeah, there's. I mean, it changes daily. Mm-hmm. We have one bartender, Matt, who's a big Fish guy. So you can come in one day and listen to that and the Dead, and then I like to do Marley Mondays sometimes, and
oh,
we'll
nice.
Listen to some reggae, especially this past Monday when it was so cold, it kind of gave us a good vibe in here.
Yeah, it's freezing outside. It's nice to be in a warm bar right now. Do you have any weekly, monthly events or some annual events that...
Well, we do trivia every other week. We don't do trivia during baseball season.
Oh, yeah.
So we have two regulars, Mike and Adam, that have been doing it for many, many years. And so that's on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. And it runs from, like I say, as soon as Cubs season ends, they run it until Christmas, and then they take a break, and then it starts back up and runs until spring train, or basically until opening day in April.
Okay.
And then...
Any good prizes?
Yeah, we always have a beer sponsor. It's usually, we've had Bell's, Maplewood, and there's prizes every week, then there's a prize for the season.
Okay, great.
So we have rounds of beer, swag, hats, t-shirts, all kinds of stuff. And then... crawfish boils, we're famous for those. This will be our 26th year doing a crawfish boil and Memorial Day weekend. So
we Memorial Day weekend?
Yeah.
I'll be there.
That's always our thing. We've been doing that for, it'll be our 26th year. And then we usually do a pig roast too at some point.
Okay. So in your years of owning a bar, what has been... First, the biggest challenge, and second, the biggest reward.
I always tell people, I actually had a girl that's still hanging up downstairs in the office. I could show you. She came and asked me when she was from the school, and I said I love not working behind a desk. That's my favorite thing, is I'd never be a desk guy, and kind of being able to have my own hours and do my thing, mm-hmm. do stuff that I really enjoy. And babysitting adults is always, that's the other thing. It's kind of, after a while, you know, working with people who've been overserved or drinking too much is, you know, gets a little old. And so it gave me good practice for my teenager.
Sure. Yeah. Does your daughter think it's cool that you own one of the best bars in Chicago? Or a couple of great bars.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I don't think she did. Lately she did, because now she's at the age where her and her friends will come in here. And so some of the other kids really dig it, but for the longest time, she just come in here and hang out and,
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, is that someone calling you? What an interesting ringtone. No one's going to be like, that's my phone. No, that's only one person's phone. I'll cut that out. No, just kidding. All right, let's see. What do you like about the neighborhood of Lakeview? We're on Southport.
Like I say, you know, when I first started working here before I bought it, working in the mid-90s, people don't believe this when we tell them we had to literally call a cab like an hour before a taxi would even come up to this neighborhood. And now, now with Ubers, it's not as prevalent seeing cabs. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, 5 years ago, you'd walk outside and there's hundreds of cabs going up and down Southport. We used to do a bar crawl every year, a Santa crawl. We'd start at Shuba's and make our way down Southport, and we'd hit 10, 11 bars. All those bars were gone. There was Mystic Celt, there was The Crossing, there was just so many bars. But the neighborhood's fantastic. We have, our neighbors are very supportive of us. During COVID, it was fantastic. The first day we were able to do to-go, like, they came in and over-tipped the staff, and they made as much tips as we did in sales.
Wow.
We're
that's great to hear.
Like I say, we've always been part of the community and family friendly, and we just love being a part of it.
Anything in the bar industry that you've noticed? Any trends that you wish would go away?
No, we're just seeing the trends is people just aren't, younger kids are just not drinking as much.
Yeah.
I hear it from you see it as many breweries are closing. The craft beer boom of 5 years ago is just not there anymore. People are going back to drinking beer that tastes like beer. Mm-hmm. The seltzers, people are drinking
those.
More of those. And they just, you know, with, I don't know, maybe with the weed being legal now, you know, more people are having gummies and sipping seltzers and really not going to bars as much.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Why do you think they should still be coming to bars? Where's the magic at a bar like Toons?
I mean, a bar, the name pub came from a public house. That's where people should go to meet people, go to meet new friends, go to hang out with your friends, mm-hmm. go to socialize, have a pint. And
it's a place to gather and see people in real life.
Yes.
And not be on your phone, right?
Yes.
Do you see a lot of people playing pool here?
Yeah, yeah. Our games are great. I mean, we have...
We're next to a pool table just for
and the shuffleboard.
Yeah,
we're
shuffleboard,
one of the few people
cool.
that has a shuffleboard, and we put the dartboard in years ago. It's great. And it's just, I fell in love with this bar when I first walked in because I grew up in a small town in Kansas. Our two bars had shuffleboard. It's just not something you walk into a bar and see.
Yeah.
And so I was drawn to that. I loved it. And we have people come in and they hang out and they play that game and drink for hours. After
very
Cubs
fun.
Games, you might have people fighting, want to fight. After.
Yeah, especially with the Cubs being so bad now.
But, yeah, our games, people loved it. And it's, I think it's something different that, you know.
When you come in here, if you're ever here on, like, a busier night, do you get recognized?
I try not to.
Yeah.
I've always been one of those fly-under-the-radar kind of guy, not the guy that walking around telling everybody I'm the owner. But... Yeah, I mean, I've been after 25 years, you know a lot of people, so.
Sure. Is there anything that maybe people don't know about Tunes that you want them to know?
Well, the building, folklore? I mean, I have some pictures I'm going to show you in a little bit, but, like, I mean, this building, the front part of the building, the bar, the main bar was built in 1914, mm-hmm. and this back addition where we're at with the pool table and the games was 1921. So, you know, I mean, it's, I have pictures going back to mid-40s that I don't think most people know that this place has been serving people drinking for, you know,
80
over 80 years.
Yeah.
you
dang,
know, like
yeah.
almost 85, 90 mm-hmm, years mm-hmm. In this little corner bar on Southport. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. I know. I love an old bar, too. I don't like going to new places anymore. I like the history. What are your hopes for the bar looking forward?
I mean, just keep doing what we do. You know, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. We like to focus on our craft, you know, local beers and just keep it simple.
Do you have a favorite beer that you've always loved?
I love Boulevard Wheat. That's a Kansas City beer that we were one of the first people that brought it in. And being the Chiefs, you know, we sell a ton of it during football season. And so it's kind of local where I grew up.
Yeah, the Chiefs being really good probably hasn't hurt the business, right?
No. That people ask me that story all the time. And that was, in those 25 years, is me and a few friends sitting back here in this back room watching how bad the Chiefs were.
Uh-huh.
And then, before the Chiefs got good, you had to go somewhere with a satellite where somebody had the NFL package to watch your team.
Yeah.
So it just got out that, hey, you can come over here and we'll have the Chiefs game on somewhere. And slowly got busier and busier and busier.
Mm-hmm.
And then they slowly started getting better. And we just started getting the crowds. And
I think it might be because you guys did that for them. The power of Tunes. Yeah,
yeah no doubt. But... It's been cool being recognized by the Chiefs, and they've sent people here. The mascot's been here, a couple cheerleaders. The one year when the NFL draft was in Chicago, this guy called me up and said he's the KC Wolf, the mascot, and I'm like, no way. And he's like, no, we're here for the draft, and we want to come. I'm like, it's Friday at 3 in the afternoon. There's nobody here, but they came anyway, and it was pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, have you had any news segments here?
Lots,
yeah.
Last year during the playoffs and opening when the Chiefs, mm-hmm. they always usually play the first game. We've been on NBC. We've been on a lot of shows.
All right.
A lot of news shows, a lot of stuff, so.
Any TV shows filmed here?
No.
That's okay. I'm just curious.
Beck's sign was in the Bear.
Okay. I feel like I do kind of remember that.
Yeah, because they did a scene where... Cousin Richie ran to Pequod's and grabbed a pizza.
Oh, I remember that.
And then went back to the fine dining room. So when he came around the corner, they had the Beck's sign. And then they've rented it out a couple times when they were doing filming around the neighborhood for their staff and people to hang out.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool.
All right. Let's do a lightning round. These are just going to be rapid fire.
Oh, boy.
You ready? Okay. Let's start with pool or darts. Or shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard.
Yeah, all the way. Bone-in or boneless wings?
Wings all the way, man. Okay. I don't know what a boneless wing is, but
I'm really bad at eating wings. It's pretty pitiful. Okay. I leave so much meat on the bone. Anyway, that's my problem. Favorite wing sauce or rub?
I'm a traditional buffalo, but my wife created most of the sauces here, and we have 8 sauces. But I'm a traditional buffalo guy. But okay. Our number one sellers are buffalo mixed with our garlic parm.
I tried that. It was good. Yeah. Favorite Chicago restaurant or bar that isn't one you run?
Our favorite restaurant used to be Uncle Julio's, but they bailed. I love Tex-Mex food. That's what I grew up on.
Okay.
And I don't know. A good dive bar for you to put on your podcast is Rossi's downtown.
Oh, Rossi's. Yeah. That's like the dive bar of dive bars in Chicago.
Rossi's is great. If I'm downtown, I'm always at Rossi's.
What is your favorite day to hang out at Tunes?
They all run together.
Yeah, they're all good.
Football days are fun, though.
Yeah. How about every dive bar should have blank?
Malort.
Malort. You're not the first person to say that. What is your opinion of Malort? Do you
it? We had a guy here who was a regular here way back when I, like I say, way back before I owned it when I was working here. His name was Hank Blackburn, and that was his drink, was Malort, and he always drank it. And when they wanted to mess with somebody back then, this is 30 years ago, they would, you know, slip somebody a shot of Malort instead of a shot of Jameson. And,
ooh.
But
they were probably
I can
not
handle
happy.
It. It's not my favorite. I'm more of a Irish whiskey, tequila kind of guy.
Okay. I like tequila, too. Let's do one item you can't live without behind the bar. I guess you're not a bartender, but in your past.
I used to be. I bartended many years.
If you can remember.
Bottle opener.
Okay, that's awesome. I got to think of better questions. I'm getting the same answers. No, that's important. How about something you wish your customers or customers in general would stop doing or start doing?
Pulling all the chairs with backs from the bar, putting them all over the tables.
Oh,
with
yeah.
Other chairs.
They're going to do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I'm guilty of it, too.
For the most part, everybody's pretty well behaved, luckily.
Good. Yeah, I feel like that, too. I think people have shapened up a little bit. What would you be doing if you weren't owning and running bars?
Living on an island, doing something. I did that before.
You did?
I did.
What island? Tropical?
St. Thomas.
Oh, pretty. Yeah.
I probably would have stayed there and just, I don't know. I was working in bars.
Was this pre-marriage? Pre-marriage,
oh, yeah. Yes, this was mid-20s.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah. That does sound nice. A vacation sounds nice right now. And then life motto or favorite quote, which you already showed me. It's on the menu. Do you want to read it?
Yeah, why not? Charles Bukowski was the inspiration for the movie Barfly. That's the problem with drinking, I thought, as I poured myself a drink. If something bad happens, you drink in an attempt to forget it. If something good happens, you drink in order to celebrate. And if nothing happens, you drink to make something happen. My favorite quote, it's on the menu.
Love it. Do you have a life motto in addition to that being your
just
favorite quote?
Just keep active. I just turned 60, believe it or not, and it doesn't feel like it.
Happy
doesn't
birthday.
Act it, but thank you. But having my daughter Olivia at 17 now, just getting out and keep moving and hanging out. And a lot of times I hang out with younger people here at the bar, and I just feel like that's, you know, that's the key. Keep moving and keep doing stuff.
You're absolutely right. My dad is the same way. He actually can't stay still. So that wraps up our interview. Danny, I want to thank you for your time and all your thoughtful answers and for showing me Tunes.
Awesome.
I will be back for the crawfish boil.
All right, yeah.
Okay, so I got to know, what's the story with the fish over the bar? Is that a fish?
That's a real hammerhead shark.
Okay.
So the story with the shark is
a guy who was a regular here. He finally asked his girl to marry him. They got engaged, and she said, "I'll say yes, but the shark's got to go." And he brought the shark in here over 30-some years ago, and it's been hanging here ever since.
I think it looks great. I think this is the it was meant to be there. What do you think?
The shark is definitely a fixture of Tunes, and everybody always asks about it.
So does that guy, how long ago was that probably?
We haven't heard from that guy in a long time.
Okay, so. I wonder if they're still married or together.
Yeah, we don't know.
Euler's Corner.
Okay, new episode of Euler's Corner. Today we are talking about bar regulars. How to be a good one, mostly how to be a bad one. But first, I got a little thing I got to talk about. I was not able to do a rant last week because I was busy searching for my bicycle that somebody stole from my apartment, by the stairwell of my apartment. I had to do a little Pee-wee's Big Adventure throughout Logan Square. Still haven't found it. But yeah, I come home from work Saturday night. I see somebody stole my bike. Now, I don't think any of my neighbors would do that. They are all, I've met most of them. They are all very fine, functioning members of society. But one thing I do notice is a lot of times they buzz in Amazon drivers, strangers. Amazon strangers that work for Amazon delivery. They'll just buzz them in to our building, our stairwell, so they can drop off the packages. And hey, if you do that, if you're getting Amazon delivered, then they buzz into your apartment building, go downstairs and meet them, okay? Don't let a stranger unsupervised into your stairwell, where some people have their $450 Nishiki bikes that they got for a great deal 5 years ago that they can't find for a good deal anymore, okay? You don't know who these people are. And a lot of the times they're working for like $12 an hour for some evil shithead billionaire Jeff Bezos. So you never know what they're going to do. I get it. You work a shitty job. You see an easier way to make a couple extra bucks. I mean, I would never do it, but I get it. There's a way to prevent it. And that's if you, A, go downstairs and meet them and then make sure they leave properly, or B, just don't buy off of Amazon. Just go down the street, go to the local mom and pop store, or even go to fucking Target. Support that evil company, because it's less evil than Amazon, I think. I don't know. I don't give a shit. What I give a shit about, though, are bar regulars. Boy, oh boy, do I have a conflicted opinion on these folks. I'm a bar regular. I'm not drinking this month, but I'm still a regular at a couple of bars. It's a fun thing to be. You know the people's, everybody knows your name, Norm, Cheers. It's Cheers does glorify being a bar regular because it is not what it's cracked up to be on that show. A lot of bar regulars I know, oh boy, they are entitled. And that's one thing you should never be if you're a bar regular. Part of being a good bar regular is just going with the flow of the bar. If the bar is super busy and the bartender's swamped, I know you and the bartender have had a lot of great conversations about life or movies or television show or the weather or whatever, but they're going to serve those other customers first, and then they'll get to you. If it's a Friday night and there's 150 people at the bar, you're no longer a regular, all right? You're just another mutant in this sea of booze hounds trying to get another White Claw with a shot of Malort. Okay? Also, with being a bar regular, less is more. Okay? Go to the bar once a week. If you've cemented yourself as a bar regular, you don't have to go all the time. They're going to know you because it's like a special event when they see you. It's like, oh, you're only here once every 3 weeks. Oh, well, I'm really going to enjoy your presence now. But if you're there 3-4 times a week, you're just annoying the bartender. Let me tell you, bartenders, they do not want to see one single customer more often than they see their friends and family. Okay? So less is more. Don't get annoyed if you have to wait for a drink. Don't act entitled. Just because you waste $150 at this one particular bar a week doesn't make you more important than the other morons that are going to be spending $50 there once every 3 months. Okay? So less is more. Don't act entitled. Also, just get to know the bar staff. Go on a slow day. You want to get to know them. Go on a slow day. Maybe in the afternoon. Watch some Bar Jeopardy. Get a couple of questions right. Whoa, you know 1970s cinema? I do. Now you're able to talk when it's super slow. So go in the afternoon. Get to know them. But mostly just don't strive to be a bar regular. Most of them are sad, codependent alcoholics. Anyway, on that cheery note, that's been Euler's Corner. Have a good one.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. Special thanks to Dan Muller for the music. Follow us on Instagram at Deep Dive Shy for updates and behind-the-scenes content. Thanks for listening to Deep Dive, where it's always a good pour, tall, short, and even malort.